You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. Today, we are focusing on Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, as Jesus tells the account about the separating of all people into two categories, the sheep to his right and the goats to his left. Jesus wants us to know that we are ready for that day when we know him as our only Savior. May God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we find ourselves at the end of Matthew chapter 25 as we take a look at the account that Jesus told us about the sheep and the goats, about what he would do and how things would unfold on the day when he comes. As I think about what he said at that time and on that day, let me give you a little bit more background information so we can understand how significant this particular reading is. For example, we find ourselves on Tuesday of Holy Week, so we know that in just a few days, Jesus is going to lay down his life in order to win the victory over sin, death, and the devil. Also, too, thinking about Tuesday of Holy Week, that seems to be the day that Jesus publicly taught more on that particular day than any other day in his entire ministry. Also, too, think about this. The account when he talked about the sheep and the goats, that was taught on Holy Tuesday. That was the final teaching Jesus gave on Holy Tuesday. And think about this. This would be the final public teaching that Jesus ever gave in his entire life. Because after this particular teaching, we know that he's alone with his disciples. We have the upper room occurrence. We have what happened with his trial and crucifixion. We have him rise from the dead, but then he's with a select group of people, not out in public again. So this seems to be the final thing that he publicly communicated to people at the end of his life. Let's get into the text a little bit. We pick up in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25, and I'm calling this the separating. So right now we think about how everyone is together in the world, but a separating is coming. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory." Think about that for a moment. When he was here, he looked like an ordinary man. When he comes again with the holy angels in all his glory, that's going to be just an overwhelmingly awesome thing. So he wants us to know that's how he will come again. And then in 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. I don't know that much about sheep and goats, but I think with most sheep, they tend to have wool and they do not have beards. But when it comes to the goats, they tend to have hair and they have beards. So those would be some pretty distinct features that you can kind of figure out which are which. Well, when it comes to people who are believers and not believers, there are many similarities between the two, but there are also some distinct differences, I believe. For example, people who are believers, they are sorry for their sins. People who are believers, by God's grace, they are trusting in Jesus as their Savior, and they also have a hunger now because God has made them spiritually alive. Now they have a hunger to spend time in the Word because they need this book as their spiritual food. And then resulting from that is that they have this desire to want to know the will of God and to follow the will of God unto the glory of God. And part of that would include doing what the sheep did by noticing people who are in need and by taking action to help them. We're going to see that here in just a moment. What about those who are not believers, though? I think they're lacking in either one or two or three or even all four of those realities I mentioned. But I think if they're lacking even in only one, I think that's enough that it makes them in the other category, because I think all four categories are essential. Sorry for our sins, believing in Jesus, feeding on the Word, and then desiring to glorify God with our lives. I can't imagine someone really being in Christ and lacking any one of those four. Do any of us do them very well? We don't. Are we all sinners? We are. Do we struggle with glorifying God? We do. But at the same time, though, I think those are all realities of people who really know Christ and who are going to be welcomed in someday. Now, think about that. Process that. Think about those four realities even for yourself. And then when it comes time for the separating, though, when that happens, Jesus will do it, and Jesus is God. So he's able to look into the heart, and he's able to know whether there is faith there or whether there is not faith there. For us, it's hard to tell. Let's go on to the welcoming in. In verse 34, Jesus said, "Then the king will say to those on his right, that would be the sheep, he'll say to them, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" So this is the time to receive the inheritance. So in order to receive an inheritance, we have to have a relationship with someone, and that person has to die. So what has happened? Jesus, who is God in the flesh, he has lived for us, and he has died for us. By God's grace, we have a relationship with him. We know who he is, and by God's grace, we are trusting in him alone as our Savior, so we have the relationship. We haven't yet received the inheritance, but when Jesus comes, we're going to get the inheritance. So he wants us to see it in that way. Like he said, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father." So we're getting the inheritance because we are blessed by God. We're not getting the inheritance because of something we did. We are getting the inheritance because of something God did for us by uniting us to Jesus Christ. Notice the reasoning now. Jesus said to the sheep, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." So Jesus knows not only what we have done, but the other key thing, he knows why we have done what we have done. I say that because doing good is not going to get us into heaven. But when we have faith, from the faith, we'll follow doing good that has proper motivation. So what do I mean by proper motivation? Think, for example, in Hebrews 11, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." So when we do good apart from faith, the world might say that's good, but to God, it is not good. So first of all, we have to have that gift of faith by which we trust in Jesus, and then from that gift of faith can flow things that are pleasing to God. So the faith always has to be first, and from that faith, we can honor God then with our lives. Goes on further, we have some confusion now with the sheep. "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?'" So those who believe in Jesus, are they carrying around some kind of a notebook? So every time they say something really good, write it down. Do something really good, write it down. And they're hanging on to that notebook. And they're going to have that notebook put right in their casket, because they want to make sure they have the notebook when they're standing before God and they're wondering, is he going to let me in? Is he not going to let me in? They can pull out the notebook and they can say, "God, look at all this stuff. Page after page after page, I did all this stuff, and because of this, you should let me in." Is that what the sheep are thinking? Not at all. The sheep know that they're poor, miserable sinners. The sheep know there's nothing they can do to earn their place with God. The sheep know the good news that eternal life is the gift of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So they fully plan on God welcoming them in, but they're not planning to get in based on anything they have done. They are fully planning to go in because of what God has done, and further, because God has united them to Jesus. So they don't need to keep track of the good things they have done. Think about it like this. What's going to be the natural result of a healthy apple tree? Okay, apples, right? So that's the idea. So when you're healthy, the apples come. So if we're healthy Christians, then what's going to come from that is we're going to be paying attention to people who are in need, and we're going to be responding according to what God has entrusted to us. We're going to respond to try to help those who are in need. Are we going to worry that if we help them with what we have, we might not have enough? Are we going to worry like that? We're not, because we know that we are the children of God. We know He loves us. We know He's going to provide for us. So I think the more generous we are in helping other people, the more God will provide for us. So we can notice people, we can help them, that will bless them, and God will in turn continue to bless and provide for us. Those kinds of things are a step of faith, but that's how God calls us to live as His forgiven children. And then we see the explanation in verse 40. The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." So when God gets a hold of us, God works an internal transformation. So from that internal transformation comes this movement now from looking less at ourselves and looking more at others. If we're honest, I think we'd all have to admit we're all a little bit selfish. We're all kind of proceeding in life in certain ways that are for us and not so much for others and not so much to God's glory. I certainly have to admit that at times. But God wants us so to grow more and more in Christ, and the more we grow in Him, the more we're going to say no to our own selfish desires and yes to the needs of those around us. God wants us to move in that direction. And then we come to part three called the sending away. Picking up in verse 41, Jesus said, "Then He will say to those on His left, thus to the goats, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Let's focus on the idea of being cursed and also upon the eternal fire. Earlier, Jesus said, "Come, you who are blessed." So that's something coming from God to the people. Here, He said, "You who are cursed." Really, what the people have done is they have cursed themselves. God wanted to bless them by showing them their sins and uniting them to Christ. How does God work? By His Spirit through His Word. But many people have pushed the Word away, so they have cursed themselves. We looked at Galatians chapter 3, for example. Paul says, in so many words, he says that anyone who tries either in part or in full to be able to earn his place with God by what he does, Paul says, all such people are under a curse. They have cursed themselves. Why does he say that? He says that because for us to be with God, we have to be perfect, we have to be righteous, and if anyone is trying to make himself perfect or righteous, he's automatically cursed, because no one, no matter who we are, no matter how hard we try, we cannot make ourselves perfect or righteous. So if we try either in part or in full, we have brought a curse upon ourselves. Also think about it like this. Anyone who is trying in part or in full to earn his own way, that means either in part or in full, he is rejecting Jesus as the way. So that's also another reason why such people bring a curse upon themselves. When Jesus said He is the only way to the Father, He meant He is the only way to the Father. We need Him to be righteous in God's sight, and we must be righteous in God's sight, or we will not be welcomed in. Also, too, I want to talk about the eternal fire here. Think about God making everything perfect. Perfect world, all holy angels, everything is wonderful. And then we see Lucifer leading many other angels in this battle against God. So they turn against God, they end up losing the battle, and they are the eternal losers. So God didn't say, hey, you angels, you shouldn't have done that, but here's a way I'm going to provide for you. I'll give you a second chance to be able to be with me forever. There is no second chance there for the angels. They oppose God, they were defeated, and they are done for eternity. So we have this eternal fire where they will be. How horrible is that? I mean, sometimes what comes to my mind here is I think back 500 years ago in Martin Luther's day, it was a typical thing that if people opposed the state or the church, they would oftentimes be arrested, be condemned, and be burned at the stake. So can you imagine, though, they have this stake, and they put you up by this stake, and they put a chain around your neck so you can't get away from the stake. And then they pile all this up around you, wood and everything else that will burn. And then your friends have an opportunity to come up to you. And if you have a lot of friends, that means they're coming with necklaces to put over your neck. So they're putting these necklaces on, and the necklace down here has a bag on it, and that's a bag of gunpowder. And the reason for that is because when the fire is lit, it's a merciful thing if, as the flames come up, that gunpowder explodes and ends up killing the person before he's consumed by the flames. Because sometimes if you don't have that, if you don't have friends, or your friends are not given that opportunity, the whole bottom of your body can like melt off in the flames, and people can still be conscious with their head up above the flames. It's just so horrible, it's hard to imagine. But there are many, though, that said, I would rather suffer that fate than turn my back on my Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over again, that happened. For 25 years, they tried to hunt down Martin Luther and put him to death in that way, and God did spare him that death. But many others that Luther knew were put to death in that manner. And then if you think about an eternal fire, and the Bible talks about a place where the worm does not die. Think about someone in the ground, and worms are eating the body, but eventually the body is consumed, and now the worms don't have any food, and the worms can die. But if the worm doesn't die, that means it's a forever and ever ongoing kind of a thing. It's a horrible thing. When I think about that, I'm thinking, dear God, the worst person in the whole world isn't bad enough to deserve that. But the good news here is that God doesn't want any person, not a single human being, needs to go to that place. God did make that place, and he made it for the devil and his angels, but he did not make it for any human beings. Jesus Christ, he is the winner over sin, over death, over the devil. God is inviting all of us, God is enabling all of us to be on that winning team and to be with him forever in a wonderful place. But for anyone, though, who either says he's not the way or who tries to earn his own way or whatever it might be, any other answer besides faith in Christ alone, that means Christ is rejected. And if he's rejected in any way, that automatically puts all such people on the losing team with the devil and his angels and in that eternal fire. It's such a sad thing. So God wants us to know so clearly that we all deserve that horrible thing. He has made the way for us to escape it in Christ. It's a wonderful thing that God has done for us. Let's go on to the reasoning here. In 42, Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." See, we have this idea of selfishness. So selfishness is sin. The two of them go hand in hand. So when people do not have that inner transformation, if they do not have that faith in Christ, they tend to look more at themselves. When I think about myself, I can be pretty selfish myself, and here I am in Christ. So how much more selfish can people be who are not in Christ? So when we're not in Christ, we tend to look to ourselves. We're not really paying attention to others. So if you think about a healthy apple tree, naturally, it produces apples. If you have a dead apple tree, naturally, it has no apples.
So God wants us to see how when you have proper spiritual health, is going to come something good. When you're spiritually dead, you have nothing coming good. That's really what he's explaining to these people as they gather on that last day. Even Jesus said in John 15, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So when a branch breaks off of a tree, it no longer has any nourishment now. It falls to the ground, it dries up, it's dead. The only thing that's good for us is to throw it on the fire. God is saying, stay connected to me. The way we abide in him is through his word. So God is saying, stay in my word, and I will bless you now and forever. Also, too, we see the confusion now as the goats are trying to understand this whole situation. They say to Jesus, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? I feel sorry for the people because they're blind to this reality of seeing other people in need. So because they didn't see them, they didn't help them. And the reason why they didn't see them is because they were so focused on themselves and so uninterested in the things of God that now this ends up being the final outcome. It's so sad. God wants us to know that we are sinners, that Christ has done it for us, and that it doesn't have to be a sad ending. And then we see Jesus give the explanation. He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. So, in a sense, Jesus is saying to them, I can see into your hearts that you have no faith. And because you had no faith, you did not care about the needs of others. To the former people, he said, I can see that you do have faith, and therefore you did care about other people. So the two things go hand in hand, but we never, ever add the two together. Faith in Christ is the way of salvation, but when we have the faith, we are going to begin caring for others. And when we don't have the faith, we are either, well, one of two things. We're either not going to care for others, or if we do, it's going to be with an improper motivation, and God will know about that, and what they do will count for nothing. So that's more of the big picture of what's going on there. Finally, Jesus will say in verse 46, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So when he comes, everyone's going to go on to an eternal place, either to life or to punishment. So God wants us to know that those who are the sheep, we know we're sinners and we're sorry. We know that we can't make it, so by grace we have faith in Jesus. We are aware that we need spiritual food, so we are into the Word of God, and then we are growing in this reality of saying no to our own selfish desires and saying yes to the needs of people that God brings into our lives. I hope you can see those realities in your life. I hope you know that you have faith, from that faith is flowing good, and that you can be at peace, that you know your sins are forgiven, that you know that when the day comes, God will welcome you in. So we're not in heaven yet. Maybe today is not the day. So what is God saying to us? God is saying, now that we understand this whole faith works connection, so for us to know it, we are so blessed. Many do not know it. Many have it confused, and they are cursed. They have cursed themselves. So now that we know, let us rejoice, and let us go to the other ones who are mixed up about it. Let's share a copy of the sermon with them. Let's do something in order that God might use us to bring them the truth, and that God might use that truth to bring them to Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. This program is listener-supported. Therefore, if the Lord leads you to give, go to benefitfromthebible.com, then click on the donate button. If you are searching for a Bible teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. To ask a question, write us at questions at
benefitfromthebible.com. For past programs, go to benefitfromthebible.com. If you live far away, seek out a church in your area that rightly handles God's Word of Truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.